Dragons this size are normally fairly harmless to man, but in these numbers they will set upon you like piranhas. There'd be nothing left of even a fatso like you, Warty Hog.
My name is Tracy Beaker. I am 10 years, 2 months old.
It's my baby brother. I think he's from outer space.
Behind them, a cockatoo was talking into a telephone.
I'm very sorry, madam, but that's company policy,
the cockatoo was saying.
The Scottish-friendly children's book tour takes the very best UK and international authors directly into schools across Scotland and the UK to inspire a love of reading and writing. Top authors go on tours through Scotland and in England, visiting a vast range of different communities. From rural schools with 8 pupils to 400-seat theatres in the city. It's been running for 20 years, and to celebrate that fact, there was a jamboree in the Glasgow Royal Concert Hall, attended by authors such as Jacqueline Wilson, Cressida Cowell and Pamela Butchert, and a lot of children.
We are so excited that you are all here. There are over 2,000 children in this room. Can you go, what? What? From 75 schools, can you say wow?
Mark Lambert is the CEO of the Scottish Book Trust. I asked them what the Scottish Book Trust's mission was.
It's really to foster a love of reading and writing and engagement with the world of books for everybody, but particularly for children.
And you not only promote reading, you also promote writing as well.
Yes, we do. We have a number of young writer programmes and programmes also for emerging writers, and that's a very important part of what we do as well.
Now, we can hear a lot of children in the background. Why are we here today?
Well, there are 2,000 kids streaming in from all across the country. They've arrived in 51 buses, and there are 71 schools represented. So it's all a bit mad, but it's wonderfully mad. And as you can hear, there's a wonderful atmosphere. And today they're coming to see an all-star lineup of children's authors, which is a celebration of 20 years of Scottish-friendly sponsorship for our touring authors programme. Many kids around the country don't get the chance to meet a well-known children's author, and so what we do with Scottish-friendly support is to bring them around. We have a book bus and we tour them right across Scotland. Sometimes they go to small rural schools, sometimes they go to larger schools in urban areas, and sometimes they all come together for jamborees like this one.
And it's going to get noisy later on. What authors are here?
Well, we've got a really fantastic lineup: Jacqueline Wilson, Chris Riddell, Pamela Bookhart, the Etherington brothers, Cressida Cowell. It's just amazing.
And many of those authors are in the RNIB Talking Books Library. Let's have a listen.
I got fed up with this and put 2091 in my day book and wrote about all these rockets and spaceships and monsters legging it down from Mars to eat us all up, as if we'd all whizzed 100 years into the future. Miss Brown didn't half get knocked.
In a few minutes, I want you to take one of these baskets and start climbing the cliff, commanded Gobber the Belch. Once you are at the cave entrance, you are on your own. I am too large to squeeze my way into the tunnels that lead to the dragon nursery. You will enter the cave quietly!
We'll hear from the authors of some of those books in a moment, but first a word from our sponsors. Scottish Friendly have supported the book tour for 20 years. I asked Callum Benny, the communications manager at Scottish Friendly, to tell me more.
Scottish Friendly is a friendly society. That is, it's an investment company. It's been in Glasgow for over 150 years now. We sponsor the book tour. We've been sponsoring it for the last 20 years. It's a way of giving something back to the community. Scottish Friendly has always been a company that's been very community-oriented. And the book tour is something that's really important because children's literacy is such a hot topic these days. We need to try and get more children reading and liking reading in an age that's very different in terms of books.
That was Callum Benny from Scottish Friendly. And we'll be talking to Jacqueline Wilson, Pamela Butchert and Chris Riddell in a moment, but first...
Hi, my name's Cressida Cowell and I'm the author and illustrator of the How to Train Your Dragon books and the Wizards of Once series. My dad was a businessman, so his job was in London, but his heart was in the wilderness. He was chairman of the Royal Society of Protection of Birds and, you know, later on when he retired, chairman of Kew Gardens. So what that meant was his heart was in the wilderness. And every year, from when I was a baby, we would be dropped off on this uninhabited island off the west coast of Scotland. An island so small that when you stand on the top of it, you can see all around you. Nothing on the island. No houses, no roads, no Tesco's. And we'd be picked up by a local boatman 2 weeks later. Extraordinary. It's just near Mull. Stunning, but extraordinary experience for a child. And from when I was nine, my dad had a house built on the island, still with no electricity, no mobile phones, and then he got a boat to catch fish to eat. So the Isle of Buck is a real place, and it's, of course, you know, the Inner Hebrides was the first place the Vikings came to when they invaded Great Britain and the last place they left. So the inheritance of the Vikings is steeped into those islands.
Once there was magic. It was a long, long time ago. In a British Isles so old it did not know it was the British Isles yet, and the magic lived in the dark forests. Perhaps you feel that you know what a dark forest looks like. Well, I can tell you right now that you don't.
That was Wizards of Once, as voiced by David Tennant. And there's a reason why the character Wish has an eye patch.
Yes, she has. She has an eye patch. I identify very much with Wish, who is the writer in the story. And she has an eye patch, I think, because I've struggled with my eyesight all my life. I still have a very bad astigmatism and early onset cataract. So I have struggled with my eyesight all my life.
Now, is it important for you that your books are available to everyone regardless of their eyesight?
Absolutely. And I write these books to be read aloud. I write them to be read aloud and they're read aloud, oh, I'm so lucky, by David Tennant. Both Dragon and Wizards of Once by David Tennant, because he makes the whole thing into a, you know, performance, and he does all the different characters. I mean, he's just marvellous. And I write them to be read aloud deliberately because it's such a... When you enjoy things together, it's such a brilliant way of getting children excited about reading. So I'm hoping they're going to be read aloud by parents or grandparents with their children, or enjoyed together in the car, or, you know, so I deliberately write them to be read aloud.
A good narrator can really lift a book.
Yeah. I mean, somebody who... David can do what I try and do in the books, which is make them funny and exciting, but emotional as well. He can do that. Listening to him record it is just an education in itself. He does it almost in one take. He'll go from, you know, a Glaswegian accent to a kind of Edinburgh accent to a kind of, I mean, he's just extraordinary. Just in one take, practically, he reads the whole thing. He's amazing.
I need not tell you, Gobor continued cheerfully, that if you return to this spot without a dragon, it is hardly worth coming back at all. Anybody who fails this task will be put into immediate exile. The hairy hooligan tribe has no use for failures. Only the strong can belong.
Do you listen to audiobooks yourself?
I listen to audiobooks a lot as a child. And so, yes, the rhythms of things like... I remember some of the books that were things like Just So Stories, Rudyard Kipling, and the rhythms of the grey, greasy Limpopo River. That sound of the language kind of... I can feel myself sometimes when I'm writing in that sort of way. Or Sherlock Holmes, I still remember the Hound of the Baskerville, the footsteps of a gigantic hound. It's so electrifying. I think it's because... Why does it resonate so much for us as humans? I think it's because for thousands of years of human history, people will have told stories by the fireside. You know, way before books were invented, the kind of written word, people would have told stories by the fireside. Our ancestors, this is ingrained in human history. And human beings are very attuned to the voices, particularly of the voices of their parents, because the voice of your parent might tell you, don't eat those berries, you know, that day. You know, so we're very attuned to listening to voices. And so I think that sound of a story being told aloud is something that resonates with us. Oh, it certainly does with me. It really speaks to something deep in us when a story is told to us.
Thanks to Cressida Kill. All of those books narrated by David Tennant are available commercially, and How to Train Your Dragon in the RNIB Talking Books Library is narrated by Anthony Ofwego. The next author I met at the Scottish Friendly Book Tour Jamboree is primarily known as an illustrator, but this book of his, Otoline and the Yellow Cat, is available narrated by David Thorpe.
So, where are you from, stranger?
Said Roop the Fang. Nosey gave him his card. Roop looked at it.
Norway,
he said.
It can get very wet in Norway.
Nosey nodded and put a playing card on the table.
Emperor of Heligoland,
said Butch Hilberg, chewing on his doggy treat.
I once saw the Emperor of Heligoland wear a splendid hat.
Nosey nodded and played another card.
I've been on the Scottish Friendly Book Tour twice.
Former Children's Laureate, the author and illustrator Chris Riddell.
With a few years in between, the first time I travelled all round the western coast of Scotland and then down the east coast. And the second time I went through the sort of central belt. Mm. And both times it was just fantastic. Wonderful to be in a bus with Scottish Book Trust. It was a real team effort, and I had a wonderful time.
Now, you work in a very visual medium, but obviously one thing that blind and partially sighted children don't get are the illustrations. How important is it that your work is translated into audio?
I love audiobooks, and I love listening to stories, and I think stories absolutely are at their best when they're spoken. Mm. And I think the audio versions of books can be incredibly powerful. The sharing of books is a very intimate thing, and to actually listen to someone reading to you is one of the great pleasures, I think, that we all enjoy.
Do you listen to a lot of audiobooks yourself? Not just children's books, but...
Yes, I do, often in the car. Sometimes books that I would not get round to reading. So, for instance, I listened to Herman Melville's Moby Dick being read by the most amazing American actor. All 26 discs of it. It was amazing. And so, although I can't claim to have read Moby Dick, I've listened to Moby Dick, which I think is almost better.
Mm. Now, the Scottish Book Trust want to put a book basically in the hands of every child in Scotland. How important is reading for people of that age?
I think it is an amazing ambition to put a book into the hands of every child in Scotland. And what it says is, this book is special. You will enjoy this book. You know, just open up its pages, see what's in it, you know, and inhabit the story. And I think if children learn that reading is pleasurable, that reading for pleasure is one of the great gifts that we can bestow, they will become readers for life. And I think that's what we want. You know, rather than lots, I'm going to get political, rather than lots of testing and school league tables and all that sort of stuff, wouldn't it be great if we just encouraged our children to read for pleasure?
One of the children at the Scottish Friendly Book Tour's Jamboree reading for pleasure was Damien Dunlop from Kilmacombe Primary School. He's visually impaired, so before I talked to Damien, I talked to his deputy head about what VI facilities were at his school.
Hi, I'm Lynn McPherson. I am the deputy head at Kilmacombe Primary School. We have got a visual impairment teacher for Inverclyde Council, and they come and regularly visit the class and visit the boys, and they provide different facilities and materials that they can help the boys see in the class. Within the class, we've got two pupils who have both got their own tablets, and the tablets have got enlargers so that they can get their work enlarged, but they also have a camera where they can be sitting positioned anywhere within the class, and they will be able to see the board and the teacher, and they will be able to get their work enlarged to make sure that they can see as well as anybody else in the class.
What's your name?
Gaming Gunlop.
And what primary are you in?
Primary 4.
So, of the authors who were here today, who did you like best?
Pamela Bookcott.
Do you like her books?
Yeah.
Has it inspired you to go away and write a story yourself?
No.
Oh.
Do you think it has?
Yeah.
So here's Damien's favourite.
My name's Pamela Butcher and I write The Spy Who Loves School Dinners, and my head teacher is a vampire rat. I was on the tour and we went down to kind of like just the line between going into England, and we did all the little schools all up and down there, and it was absolutely wonderful. I think we did something like, well, we did a lot. I think we managed to hit something like 40 schools in 5 days. It was absolutely wonderful. And some of the schools that we went to were just teeny little community schools where all the schools together, everybody was only like 14 pupils. It was wonderful. It was awesome.
Now, your books are narrated by Susan Kalman. How important is it that your books are available in audio?
I think it's really important that the books are available in audio. It's, well, before I ever started writing my stories down, I was an oral storyteller. I would say that's how my grandma would tell me stories and my mum would tell me stories, and I would hate to think that there's a barrier for some, you know, children and pupils not to be able to kind of have all these wonderful stories that we have. You know, everything from Jacqueline Wilson to Treasure Island to kind of modern day greats like, you know, Mr. Gum and such. So it's wonderful to know that there are no barriers when it comes to books, if we have as many books as possible, audiobooks. And having Susan Kalman narrate and do the audiobooks for the Izzy series is just hilarious. It's absolutely hilarious. I wonder how it would work, because Izzy is an 8-year-old child. But no offence, Susan, but she does a brilliant job of being an 8-year-old.
After seeing your performance today, I know Susan does a brilliant job, but have you ever thought about narrating any of your own books?
In an ideal world, if I could actually sit down and have that sort of discipline and not go off on a tangent and tell this story and this story, I would love to read my own books, but I think I'd have to leave that to Susan. I think that I would get a bit jumbled reading out loud, I do. And I think that I would get a wee bit too excited and I'd end up stopping and telling a story much as I'm doing now. I've been very good today, I think. So best left with Susan, I think.
Those books narrated by Susan Kalman are available commercially. In the RNIB Talking Books Library, however, are Baby Aliens Got My Teacher, The Magic Hamster, and The Baby Brother from Outer Space. It's read by Olivia Mace.
Maisie fainted instantly because she is terrified of aliens, and one time when we thought our teacher, Miss Jones, was an alien, she actually fainted head first into her shepherd's pie at school dinners. That's how scared she was. So me and Zach picked Maisie up by an arm and a leg each, and Jodie said, "Den, now." But I said, "What about Haroon?" Because it's only me and Jodie and Zach and Maisie that know about the den, and are allowed to have secret meetings there.
And finally, another former Children's Laureate who was in attendance at the Scottish Friendly Book Tours Jamboree was Dame Jacqueline Wilson.
I feel I'm a veteran of the Scottish Book Trust tours, and they're always beautifully organised, and I feel we go way back, both of us, and so I'm very, very happy to be here on their 20th anniversary.
Now, during your talk today, you said something I've not heard before about how Tracy Beaker got her name.
Well, I was trying to think of the right surname for Tracy, and I was actually doing it in my bath. And when you think about it, bath time and bathrooms aren't a very great place for surnames, and I was looking all around and thinking, shall I call her Tracy Tap, Tracy Toothbrush, Tracy Toilet? The ideas got darter and darter, so I got on with shampooing my hair, and to rinse it I keep an old plastic beaker on the side of the bath, picked it up to sluice my hair clean, and thought, oh my goodness, Tracy Beaker, and that is how she got her name. I think this is always a good story to tell the children because it always makes them giggle, but it actually happens to be perfectly true.
In the RNIB Talking Books Library, we've got a lot of classic literature. And do you think children's literature has changed over the years, and do you think you've been a part of that change?
I think it, certainly when I was young, I did feel that lots and lots of books were very much about middle-class children and their experiences. And I thought, well, that's not what my life's about. And so I did think, if ever I was lucky enough to be an author, that's the sort of child that I would write about.
And is it important that your books are available in all formats so people can read it regardless of their site?
Absolutely, and I signed something special to make sure that my books would be in sort of large format and a very special sort of recorded format for blind and partially sighted children. And I've taken part in various campaigns to try and make this available for as many children with sight problems as I possibly can.
If I was... older, I would live in this really great modern house all on my own, and I'd have my own huge bedroom with all my own things, special bunk beds just for me, so that I'd always get the top one, and a Mickey Mouse alarm clock like Justine's, and my own giant set of poster paints, and I'd have some felt tips as well, and no one would ever get to borrow them and mess them up, and I'd have my own television and choose exactly what programmes I want, and I'd stay up till gone 12 every night, and I'd eat at McDonald's every single day, and I'd have a big fast car so I could whiz off and visit my mum whenever I wanted.
A clip from The Story of Tracy Beaker, which is in the RNIB library book, The Jacqueline Wilson Collection. It's narrated by Joanna Myers, and there are many Jacqueline Wilson books in the library. For more information on the RNIB library and Talking Book Service, phone the helpline on 0303 123 9999, or visit rniblibrary.com. And for more information on the Scottish Book Trust and the Scottish Friendly Book Tour, head to scottishbooktrust.com.